from the crypt.
Hello, boys and ghouls. Welcome to episode 109 of Dads in the Crypt. My name is Jason, and I'm joined by Jody.
Hello.
Hello. Mondo has the night off, but we have a great guest for you. His name is Matthew Torres, better known as the Storytime Guy. Welcome, Matthew.
Hi, it's great being on here.
Great to have you. Why don't you tell us about yourself and your content?
Yeah, so like you said, my name is the Storytime Guy. I do a lot of Latino representation in pop culture, so comic books, music, movie, show, anime. If there's Latinos in the space, I talk about it. I'm very eclectic when it comes to everything I do, from video games to movies to shows to comics to manga, whatever. I love it all. And in addition to that, I love horror. In all aspects. And then I also talk about a lot of Latino folktales and folktales from around the world. Usually not Europe stuff, because everyone already talks about that. So I talk about other folktales people might not know about, lesser known stuff. And of course, my big one that gets a lot of views and everything is Aztec mythology. Love Aztec mythology. I try to condense all of my stuff into minute to minute and a half to kind of get people interested in it. I'm a substitute teacher. So for me, it's like kids interested in history and education and like kind of their representation for me is like, that's why I do things. So if any of those things are you, that's what I kind of rotate every video out on, a different kind of like today's horror, tomorrow's this and all that stuff. So
where do you post mostly?
I post on Instagram and TikTok. I have a few things up on YouTube. I have a little like, I don't want to say it's a podcast. I kind of just rant and talk about like more detailed stuff in Aztec mythology specifically for like 20, 30 minutes. But I'm not consistent with that. So I have like 3 episodes up, but it's whenever I get time. I got a newborn son and it's hard to make podcasts.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How old?
He just is going to turn 5 months. So I got a 5-year-old turning 6 on Friday, and I got a 5-month-old. So yeah, it's a busy house.
I can already tell just from the way you're talking that you are a much better substitute teacher now than I was when I did some substitute teaching. Because my whole method, I was just doing it. I needed a little supplemental income. And so like my entire approach was tell the kids, like, keep the volume low enough that none of the teachers nearby come to check on you. Like, if you can keep us just contained in this room, I don't really care what happens. But if you get too loud, I'm going to get in trouble, and that's bad for me.
I mean, honestly, I do the same thing, but I also throw in like extra like pop culture stuff too, because I tend to work at like schools that have a lot of Latinos in it. So I'm like, hey guys, you know that the tortilla was invented 10,000 years ago, and that the same way we made tortillas 10,000 years ago, we still make them to this day. It's the oldest food in existence that's still eaten today. Like, you know, that kind of stuff that gets them. They're like, really? Yeah. You know, so like that's why, like, you know, I get high fives in the hallways and stuff. Like, it's like, oh, Mr. Torres is there. So I love being a substitute. It's so fun. Like I say, it's supplemental income for me. Love it. Kids, you know, they just keep it down, keep it quiet. Mm-hmm. Play your Switch. I don't care. Go on your phones. If your work is done and you're quiet and you're respecting me and my time, I will respect you and your time, and you can do whatever you want. So that's why the teaching council is like, hey, it's good. It's good. Hey, they did their work. I don't care. So.
I'll never forget when we had a substitute teacher and they put on, because the Olympics was happening, so they put on Cool Runnings. That was their idea of teaching us about the Olympics.
It's cool. I mean, I've done similar stuff. Be like, hey, so it's this, so we're going to watch this. Hey, we talked about this, so let's talk about Disney trivia. So, like,
there you go. Now, tell us about when you started watching Tales from the Crypt, your favorite episodes.
So I'm going to give the answer that I think most millennials will give about all horror, is that I watched it probably too young. I was probably around like between the ages of like 8 and 12 when I started watching it. I don't remember how or why, because I don't ever remember having HBO, or I guess HBO back then. So I don't know how or why I watched it, but I was able to watch it. I remember
they were on Sci-Fi for all, they bounced around a couple like back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, I would have been, I was born in 91. So right at that time where they were kind of shooting stuff around. And I remember the first episode I ever watched was the Christmas special. And I think that's actually season 1, episode 1, maybe.
Technically, it's a second episode, but they all all aired the same night. So
yeah, and I remember that Santa Claus one. I remember him being his face like haunted in my nightmares, the blood, and I was god, like I was kind of used to horror. I saw Anaconda with, remember that one, Anaconda with what is it, mm-hmm. J-Lo and Ice Cube,
and Ice Cube and John Boy, Wilson was there for a minute.
I saw that when I was like seven. I don't know why. I saw Jurassic Park when I was like two, so I grew up with horror, but it was like the slasher horror. I'd never really seen like slasher stuff before. That was my first introduction, and like this really like Lovecraftian really sad end, because I think he gets it right. He kills them, right? I think at the end of it, if memory serves.
Which one?
The Santa Claus one. He kills them at the,
I mean, he's in the house.
It's implied. Yeah, yeah. He's in the house.
Yeah, so exactly. So that kind of stuff, like, I'd never really seen a movie where, or anything where the bad guy won. And so that kind of really messed me up. And I was like, yes. And I fell in love with the Crypt Keeper. You know, it's like that kind of weird puppetry. I always thought it was a person. I didn't know until I was like a teenager. I was like, that's a puppet? I didn't know puppets could be that good, you know? So to me, I just fell in love with that. And then I just kind of like the rest of my life just took horror anthology, horror adjacent anthology, the Masters of Horror TV show when that came out, Twilight Zone on New Year's Day. I don't know any horror fan that doesn't watch Twilight Zone on New Year's, you know, like Christmas and New Year's. Yeah. It was playing on Sci-Fi 24 hours. So to me, I just loved it. And Tales from the Crypt really has this like, hey, sex and blood, like that's our thing, that's what we're going with, and they did it well. I mean, that's
I watched Anaconda for the first time in like 10 years a couple months ago, and I totally forgot that Danny Trejo is in the opening.
Yes, I haven't seen it since it came
out. Oh really? Yeah,
but I remember it, but it was,
yeah, there's that very very opening bit where there's a guy like climbing up.
Where are they even? Are they supposed to be in the Amazon?
Amazon, yeah.
So okay. What was John Voight? He was what accent? I remember
he was a poacher.
But his, where was he supposed to be from though? Was he?
Oh, who knows?
Like the accent was supposed to be like Latin American. Like he's supposed to be like.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, but. And then going back to what you're saying about the Crypt Keeper, our good friends Al Katz and Gil Adler just came out with a new episode of their podcast, the How Not to Make a Movie podcast, and they did a whole hour with John Kassir, who did the voice of the Crypt Keeper. That's cool. And they talked a lot about the behind the scenes and the puppetry and how even people in the entertainment industry kept asking them, so who's really playing the Crypt Keeper? Who they can't be just a puppet. Like people would not believe them. That
it's so good because it's so lifelike, the eyes and everything. And because he's rotted, it kind of gets away with like you can, the plastic and everything blends in with the rottedness. And so you're able to like really, and his voice, I mean, he brought it to life in a way that like you really don't see too often with puppets, that you're like, That's the Crypt Keeper puppet? No, it's a person.
Well, and the puppetry crew got so good and in sync with him that like when he did live appearances, he could improv and they could like match mouth.
I'm so jealous. I would freak out if I saw him live. Like when we were talking about something, I'm like, can Halloween Horror Nights or something like buy the rights to the Tales from the Crypt and like make him like a host next? Like, can we get a Tales from the Crypt like haunted maze? Because I think everyone would freak out. Just nostalgia filled. Yeah. Like he's owed as much. Just he. Mm-hmm. I feel like he deserves it.
Yeah, pay him. Pay the man. All right. Tonight, though, we're talking about Season 7, Episode 7, The Kidnapper, which came out on June 7th, 1996. Jody, give us a plot synopsis.
All right. Normally, I take a lot of notes, but I watch this one, and I'm like, this is a simple enough story that I can just breeze through. I feel like it's a good story. It's a short story, simple story, but not bad. So we've got this guy named Danny who works at like a pawn shop. It's around Christmas. He's very lonely. He's all by himself. And one night a woman comes in. Her name is Teresa. She's pregnant. She's homeless. She's trying to sell some family heirlooms to make a little cash. And he doesn't have the money to give her. But instead he offers, hey, you can stay here with me. And they both realize they're both lonely people. She says, I'm not looking for any kind of relationship. You know, I'm pregnant here. This guy hurt me and I don't want to replace him. I need a friend. It's like, okay, cool. We'll be friends. That's a bad setup for Danny. Cause you can already tell
ulterior motives
like with this from the get go. When people talk about the friend zone and it's like this obnoxious thing where there's a dude who obviously has ulterior motives, that's kind of what we're talking about here. Danny had some motives here, but he's a lonely guy and he's trying to be nice, but there's a little bit of that. Like, maybe I'll turn it into something.
Well, we'll get into it, but the way the episode does it, it's kind of a slower progression.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so like
at first you're not quite sure, but there's hints.
That's what I tell my students to not do. I'm like, hey guys, if you like a girl and she says I'm not interested, be her friend, but don't be her friend with ulterior motives. Don't be like, well, she doesn't like me now, but if I stay her friend and I look out, and then I'm like, don't do that. Don't. And all the girls would nod and head like, listen to him, guys, please. Yeah. If I tell you, I don't want to be like, that's what I was like. Oh, red flags, man. Like, he's like, for him, it was supposed to be a wall, but he saw it and was like, that's a ledge to jump. That was just a hop. I just got to get over that little wall. And I mean, that kind of plays to his whole character. He's just kind of.
So anyway, she stays with him. And we kind of take a little jump in time to where the baby is born. And they're not quite as chill as they used to be because there's a newborn baby in the house. And the baby's crying all the time. He wants to go out and do stuff together. But the baby's taking up all their time, taking up all their energy, definitely taking up all of her energy. He just kind of is complaining about it most of the time. But, you know, they get into a big fight about, you know, he wants to go to the movies. And she says, well, okay, fine. Go by yourself. I have to take care of this baby. And the next day, they go out to, it is the next day, right? They go out to a park.
Unspecified.
But
anyway, they're apologizing for what happened the night before.
Yeah, that's so true.
There may be multiple fights. I'm guessing there probably were.
Yeah.
But they go to a park and Danny says, hey, you want a hot dog? And he walks off to go get a hot dog. And then these mimes come through and they're doing their mime act. And the mimes are very distracting. They get into an argument and the male mime starts attacking the female mime. But then maybe it was all an act. I don't know. Either way.
And also they're Teresa speaking. Goes,
yeah, they're speaking.
Yeah, I know.
They're bad mimes.
Yeah, bad mimes.
maybe English mimes are different. I don't know. This was in England. So French mimes, definitely. They don't talk. But,
I was surprised that they have hot dog stands in England.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, they have hot dog? What? Interesting.
Fish and chip stands. Anyway, they go and she watches this whole thing. She tries to intervene and they bow. It's an act. And then she turns back around. The baby is gone. And there is a man running away, pushing the carriage. So she screams for Danny. Danny chases after him. They have this extended chase scene. The dude abandons the carriage and just picks up the baby, starts running. And it's pretty obvious it's a puppet after a certain point, or just a baby doll.
Yeah, it's holding, a baby doll.
Because I'm like, you're gonna hurt that baby if that's a real baby. Don't do that with a baby. But no, it's a baby doll. But anyway, he runs away with it, and Danny chases, and Danny falls down, and the guy gets away. But while Danny lays there on the ground, he starts laughing. This was not a random occurrence. Danny is behind this. We find out that conclusively in a little bit, but obviously Teresa's just, you know, torn apart by this. She can't function. Her baby is missing. She's going through all this stuff, trying to find it. The police officer says, like, you're not very likely, or he doesn't tell this to her. He tells it to Danny. You're not very likely to recover this child. There's this whole black market, but also there's other horrible things that can happen. And you know, Danny knows that what's actually happened to this baby, but he just tries to say, you know, to Teresa, it's fine. Like, well, we'll just make another baby. Okay. Like, don't worry about it.
Hold on. There's this one scene, one bit where the police officer gives him pills.
Yes.
To give to her so he can get some rest.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, what? Cause first of all, the officer has pills on him that are like barbiturates or, you know, some sort of, you know, knock.
They're like, calm down the woman pills, because that seemed to be what
she
the
has hysteria.
Yeah, that's so her husband can get some rest. Like,
right. I'm just like,
there's some bad policing, some misogyny going on here, because everyone is really pretty dismissive of her. Like, she just lost her baby. Everyone's like, yeah, you know, baby's probably dead.
Women,
take some pills, get some rest. But then he's later on. They're hanging out, and she's sad, of course, and he comes to lay down beside her, and he's kind of like, we can make another baby of our own, and tries to make a move on her. And She shoves him off. I mean, not just tries to make a move. Like, no, this is attempted rape here. Like, he's grabbing. She's shoving away, saying no. She said, I don't want you. I want my baby. Which, yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. You don't just move on. Like, okay, I guess I don't have a baby anymore. So anyway, he goes to the people who he used to set this whole thing up. They're part of, I guess, some like kidnapping and then selling adoption baby ring. They kidnap the babies, they sell them to rich people, and they're adopted, and then they have a baby.
And then there's that line that like the white babies get the most, the most money. Like, oh my God,
it's London. Yeah. There's mostly white babies, anyways. Like, yeah, I know.
But he tries to get the baby back. They're like, you're not getting this baby back. Here's our, you know, goon. And this giant man comes out with a big mustache, kind of like, you're not getting the baby back. He punches him in the face. Says, you know, there's no way. And through this is all told kind of by Danny. Because in the beginning, we see Danny meeting a random woman in the park. And he just goes up to her and is talking to her baby and then picks up her baby. And that's kind of the wraparound for all this. And so we come back to that, and Danny decides, I know a way to get a baby to make Teresa happy. I'm just going to take this one. And so he takes this baby and starts running away with it. And again, thankfully, at some point, this is replaced by a doll because the baby gets...
Immediately, because he's like holding it, and the baby's just got its arms out.
And it's just a starfish.
Yeah, starfish, yeah. Baby.
But I mean, you know, again, if this was a real baby, this baby is not doing well in this situation. It's bad. But the goon guy shows up and says, he said you were going to be a problem, and punches Danny in the face. And then all of these bystanders show up and they surround Danny, and they take the baby and give it back to his mother. And as they're beating him up in the park, he reaches up. Oh, I forgot about this. He reaches up and grabs the baby. Now, earlier we find out that this baby has a big birthmark right on its back. And so Danny reaches up and grabs at the baby and gets a hold of the baby's pants and pulls the pants down. And you see that big birthmark on the baby's back. And Danny realizes, wait, this was the baby that I sold in the first place. This is the baby I've been looking for. This lady who I've been talking to got this black market baby, but it doesn't matter. Because Danny's now getting beaten to death for his crimes. Pretty well deserved, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
you kind of suck, dude. Like, he tried in the end to do a right-ish thing, but it's no right-ish by stealing someone else's baby. He had no idea.
I mean, technically, it was his baby. Kind of. It was his baby.
Know that. He didn't know that.
Can you steal a car that you sold?
Yeah,
exactly.
that you paid someone else to steal. Yeah. All right, Matt, you're our guest, so you start us off. What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was really interesting that, like, how do I put this? He's not a likable main character. He has, like, no redeeming qualities, and even the little things that they show about his character make him less and less redeeming. Like, there's a beginning where she's like walks into his back office, and there's like a nudie calendar on the one. He's like, oh, sorry. Okay, as like a storytelling point of view, like, I'm supposed to be I guess they wanted us to not feel bad when this guy dies at the end of this. But a part of me, if I would have written that, especially because the comic book, which we're going to talk about later, I'm like, why? I really wish we would have felt bad for him. Like, he should have been this genuinely nice guy, and he shouldn't have sold the baby. Just have the baby get stolen on his, because of him. That it's not even his baby, and he loses it, and then he's trying to get it back, and then, you know, that whole scene with the reveal of the baby. I'm like, I wish this was a really tragic story, but I guess, like, at this point, especially, like, what, 7 seasons in, they're like, no, we can't make people cry. Like, that's too messed up, you know? So, I mean, yeah.
I think the tragedy is more on Teresa, that she got embroiled in all this. And we don't get much backstory on him. We don't get much backstory on her.
Yeah. What's another thing is we don't get any real backstory on her. We never find out anything about her other than, you know, like, and then she goes crazy very briefly with the doll. She's like, yeah, it's my baby. And it's like, yeah. Okay.
But again, I think one of the biggest strengths that Tales of the Crypt that show has always had is the amazing casting. And Steve Coogan is just, he just is likable just by
despite his charisma. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like you want to like him, but everything he does and everything he says is just like, ugh.
Well, see, like to me, like when I was growing up, Casper was a big movie. And if I'm not mistaken, he's the goon in Casper.
See, I spent the whole time watching this going, okay, I know this guy. I even know his name is Steve Coogan. What do I know him from? And I still don't know. Like, I know him from something.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of someone else. That's Eric Idle. Sorry. They're both British guys.
That's Monty Python guy.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I know him from, like, the Night at the Museum series, which my kids really like, and Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, there's so many movies that, like...
I just feel like this is a guy who I know better than I actually do.
Yes. Yeah.
For some reason.
You know him more as a person than you do as characters.
Yeah, and sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think he's just a very charismatic guy, and I think that's why like this party that wants to find something redeemable in him.
Yeah.
Possibly he runs into the even more irredeemable people as he goes.
He was also in Around the World in 80 Days, which I know is a terrible movie, but I watched it as a kid, and I was like, this is so cool.
Yeah. We watched plenty of bad movies as kids.
Yeah. Indian in the Cupboard. Times. That one's great. Sorry, and now I'm looking like at all the IMDb and everything. I'm like, oh, this is gonna. The other guy is Percy J. He's good. He's a good actor.
But you know, I liked that there was some good twist in this.
Yeah,
because like I didn't call the whole. First of all, who the hell comes up with a plot that steals a baby using mimes?
Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to talk about so at the end of the episode, the guy's like, he knew you were gonna do this. So was he following the guy or was he following the baby?
Yeah, the henchman was following him.
Right. And so it's just coincidence. He
randomly walked up to the woman who...
Yeah, it's just pure coincidence that he was stealing the same baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the mimes were totally in on this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. They were the distraction. Because I first figured out something was suspicious when he said something about getting a hot dog. Because something about the way he said it, this is a good actor here. Something about the way he said, hey, do you want a hot dog? That felt very like, I'm trying to get out of the way.
Yeah, I need to hit and my cue right now. I see the mimes because he sees it right after the mimes. Yeah, he's like,
it was right after he sees the mimes.
Boom.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Then she goes into a thing like, didn't you always want to be a mime like me? I'm like, that's a weird, no.
See, like,
that's not what most people want
to
be.
The thing is to imagine like, so and the thing is, because in the comic, they explain how this all, like how he finds out about the whole baby stealing stuff. But in the show, it never tells you, like, he just finds people that are willing to sell a baby, and like to me it's like, so he goes to this guy like, hey, I want you to steal this baby, and instead of saying like, oh, break into the house while we're gone, or I'll just walk out the door, the guy's like, okay, so there's gonna be two mimes, okay, so make sure when you see the two mimes, they're gonna argue with each other. Oh, mimes don't talk, shut up. So there's two mimes, they're gonna argue, they're gonna distract your wife, okay, they're gonna pretend to have domestic violence, okay, your wife will, your girl, whatever, she'll get distracted, and that's when we'll take the stroller. We won't pick up the baby yet, we'll go on an extravagant chase with the stroller, and then we'll abandon the stroller, and a guy with a giant fake plastic mask too, like,
yeah.
And he's like, you know, that sounds
Walmart
great.
Mask there.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's a great plan. That's a great plan to steal a baby.
Like, I just imagine walking to that like adoption agency or whatever that was a front for, and like, so can you help me steal a baby? And then
reverse adoption?
Like, yeah, reverse adoption. And like, oh yeah, we even have mimes.
Right. Mimes.
Yeah, he's just going to all the adoption agencies in town, like, hey, do any of y'all here acquire babies, or you just get rid of them? Like, if you're acquiring, I got a deal for you.
And he sold it for what did he say? Like $1,000, $2,000?
Well, yeah, £2,000, whatever that is, in 1996.
Yeah. So to me,
but
I'm
he
like,
said you could sell it for $20,000. So,
which I feel like in both cases that's lowballing. I feel like I don't know the current baby to the baby to transfer rate, but like, I'm just saying, if you know people are gonna sell baby, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe babies do sell on the black market for $20,000. I don't know,
I have no idea, but it reminds me of that scene in Hostel 2 where they steal the passports and like they put on like different prices for Americans versus other nationalities. Like, oof.
It's just the whole thing is just really silly, because like I was like, oh, this is fun, silly, kind of. And then, like, brutally, like, mob mentality, like, well, not even mentality, like, mob killed at the end. I was like, oh, okay, well, he kind of got what he deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to keep going, but, like, you read the comic, you're like, I want to cry. This is messed up. Like, this is sad. Like, you know, because it's just, yeah, just to me, I was just watching the show. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's almost like the one, was it Three's a Crowd? Is that the one I'm thinking of with the guy whose wife is pregnant, but he doesn't know anything. She's cheating on his friends.
I think you're right. I think that's the right title.
Yeah. The guy with the guy from Willow.
Yeah.
That's another really tragic, mm-hmm. crazy twist ending episode. Jordy, what'd you think?
I come in with low expectations now that we're in season 7. Like, I don't expect good things, but I actually like this one quite mm-hmm. a bit. Like, it was a simple story, like I said, but you got good actors. You know, Steve Coogan playing Danny, he had to carry this because he's 90% of the thing. He's even the narrator. But I think he did a great job, and he does manage, probably just because of who he is and his presence, to somehow be sympathetic, even though nothing he does in the entire episode is even slightly sympathetic. Like, he's very selfish. He, you know, from the very beginning, even his, you know, I want to help you feels a little like, but for my own good, like maybe I can get a girlfriend out of this. And then very quickly, he's just annoyed by this baby because the baby's in his way. He's jealous of it and just awful stuff, you know. And I get that sometimes, you know, as a young father, you may have moments where you're like, I used to have a wife and now we just have a baby and it takes over everything. I get that. That's fine. But selling the baby's going a little bit too far to deal with the problem, you know? Like, take a date night.
Like, it's not like she said, don't go see the movie, stay home with the baby. He's like, no, it's okay, you go to the movie. And he's like, no, I don't want to go to the movie with.
Yeah, I just want to normalize going to the movies by yourself. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great time. You go, you get some popcorn. Don't have to have anyone around you. Don't have to explain.
It's a movie theater. Exactly. You're going to be quiet anyways in the movie theater. Like, you know,
that's right. Yeah. I've always thought movie dates were like the worst dates. Because, I mean, you don't even talk. You're just sitting beside each other looking away.
That's what I was telling you. If you're going to go on a first date, don't go to the movies. What are you going to do in the movies? That's a second date when you're kissy-kissy. First date, you're getting to know each other. That is...
Right.
Don't go to the date. Go walk around the park or something. Talk to them.
Right.
I will say, until like my 20s, I did not like going to the movies by myself. It was just... I don't know. To me, it was a thing you did with like friends and stuff. But this guy's just being a dick about it.
Yeah.
I will say this. Actually, this episode was really well shot because there's a really cool shot where he's in the adoption agency and the camera's behind him and the thug is like walking around him. And it's a mm-hmm. point where the thug walks in front of the camera and then suddenly you're on the other side of the desk.
Yeah, that's cool.
Where the adoption guy, I was like, whoa. I had to like rewind it because I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I think like Jody was saying, like, they were overly ambitious with this episode. The mind stuff was a little silly, fine, but it's still the crypt. You got to have a little camp. Sure.
Yeah.
But overall, it was well cast, well shot, and straight to the point. And, you know, it actually had like some real pathos. Like, as I was like, damn, that you kind of felt a little sting at the end there. And there was a fun, fun twist, but there's a couple good twists that you did not see coming.
Did you guys get reminded of like Steven Seagal with that, the bodyguard hitman guy that like kills him at the end? Would you see him? I honestly, I was like, is that Steven Seagal? Like, just the way he presented with him, I was I was like, that looks like Steven. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I saw him and I was like, I think that I honestly thought that was Steven Seagal when I first saw him.
That would have been a great cameo.
With the British accent. You know what he would have done? Oh, exactly. He wouldn't even try to British accent. He just like talked and he just karate chopped the guy. But yeah, oh, I just, man, the whole thing, like that whole baby and everything, just. It was like the blood at the end. I kind of, maybe I'm macabre or whatever, but like I would have liked to seen him like get his head stomped in, you know. I think that would have been really like, because they just they like flash red and they're just like with like the most like corn syrup red dye blood ever. It's like, psh, he's dead. But I would have liked to see his like face get caved in, like this Tales from the Crypt. They do some nasty stuff. Like, give us a cool death, because there's only one piece of violence. Let's get something cool in it, you know.
All right, Jody, give us the comic.
Yeah, so this came from Shock Suspense Stories number 12, September 1953. Script by Al Feldstein and Bill Gaines, mostly Al Feldstein, and art by Reed Crandall, which is not one of our, you know, normal stable of artists, but he is floating around in the EC world. But yeah, this is one of those that actually took inspiration from the comic, mm-hmm. like significant inspiration, with a couple of differences. Okay. First off, 1953, The couple is married. This is not a single mother and a dude saying you can live in my house. They are a married couple. This is their baby. And they have this baby, and the baby has a birthmark on its hand, kind of like a black spot on its hand. And the biggest difference is in this, the husband has nothing to do with the kidnapping. Like, the baby just flat out is taken, and nobody knows why. Nobody knows, you know, what the reasoning is or what happened to it. Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
Well, okay. Well, there's two things. One is that after the wife has given birth, she's told that she can no longer have kids.
Right. By the husband, not the doctor.
So the doctor tells the husband. The husband waits like days when they're home to tell her instead of having the doctor tell her. So if she has any medical question, God forbid, she can ask on her own.
Yeah, I feel like that's a 1950s thing. Yeah. Like, let me tell the man what's going on, and he can tell you, little lady.
Right. And then, well, then there's the whole thing where they want to go out for lunch, and they leave the baby out on the streets, which I think was somewhat more common back then, but still.
Yeah, no, I've heard, okay, so obviously nothing like this happens in the U.S. now. Like, you would probably get CPS called on you if you did something like that. But in some other countries, especially like Scandinavian countries, that's totally normal. Like, you take your baby, and it's Scandinavia, so, you know, it's freaking cold. It's like, you know, 30 degrees Fahrenheit out there, and they'll just bundle up the baby and leave them in their carriage on the street while they go and eat lunch.
So they let the baby get frostbit and kidnapped.
Yeah, I guess it's safer, you know, there. They don't worry about, you know, kidnap. Let me just point out one thing real quick, because we're not going to get into this too deep, but this kind of kidnapping, like the snatch and go from some random stranger, almost never happens.
No.
Like, that's what everyone's afraid of. And they're always like, I saw a man at Target and he looked at my baby. No, yeah. No one's stealing your baby. Okay. That's not how it happens. It's kidnappings is family.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's all relative stuff.
Yeah. Personal stuff. Just wanted to clear that up, because that's like a big issue right now, that people are constantly scared that. Usually it's because they see someone of another race nearby, weirdly enough, and they're like, oh, he's going to kidnap my child. No, he's not. He's just buying cat food.
And also, it's like the odds of being in the same room or place where a guy is capable of kidnapping a small child. Like, and the thing is, I get, like, sometimes there's been like two cases where there's like a woman walks up to another woman's baby and is like, this is my baby. Right. And then she's like, this lady's trying to steal my baby. But in both instances, immediately stopped. Everyone's like, well, hold up. Let's not go anywhere. We're going to figure out whose baby this is before anyone goes anywhere, you know?
But, well, I mean, yeah, it's one of those anecdotal things where, yes, there are people with mental illness, and it happens on the extremely rare cases. Mm. And it happens once, and everyone freaks out about it, when statistically it's like... No.
That's not true.
It's like blades and drugs. I did this whole thing on a candy. Sorry, small tangent. There's like, my mom, you know, she's a Facebook. My mom is, you know, goes on Facebook. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, careful. If you see a rag on your handle, it's coated in drugs. So like you'll get, it's like fentanyl. And if you touch the towel and then your face, you'll get passed out. And then that's how they kidnap you. And I was like, Mom. First off, I don't think that's ever happened before. Yes, it has. All right, well, let's Google it. Never happened. It's never happened once. Secondly, that's not how fentanyl works. You can't like, you can't touch it to your face and go, oh, like, it's
also free. Who gives out
free drugs? I don't know how many times I have to tell my mom that. She's like, I heard that they're laced with cocaine. I'm like, who's giving out free cocaine? Who's giving out free ecstasy? Yeah. Who's giving out these free drugs? Because I can guarantee you, it's just not a drug dealer. Where do they get this? Are they working with the like child agencies? Like, all right, yeah, I'll give you at a discount, like, you know, so you can go kidnap some people.
Even the thing where people are like, you know, hey, they're, you know, edibles, marijuana edibles are a lot more available. They're giving them out at Halloween. I'm like, no one's giving them out. Mine are in the lockbox. I mean, it
costs money. That's another thing. Like, careful with the Halloween. You don't know who. And I'm like, who?
No.
Who's doing this? It's never happened in history. Or like someone's like, put, because also, I mean, if someone gives out a candy or, you know, this kind of like free food, who's taking that? If I see something that's in a package, I'm not giving it to my kid. I just take it.
Yeah. So continuing on, though. So this dad then is trying to find his baby, and it goes through the same things that happen in the show. Like, the mom finds a nasty baby doll and, you know, treats it like her baby and all this stuff. But he finds out about this whole black market of buying and selling babies. when he's trying to replace his lost baby. He finds out that there are people out there who are buying and selling children. And he does the same thing that Danny does in our story of picking up a random baby. He tries to steal it, tries to run away. The bystanders attack him. And as he is being beaten to death, we see that it was his baby after all, with the black birthmark on the baby's hand. So very similar story this time. Obviously, the dad is a much more sympathetic character in the comic because he's not behind the whole thing. you know, that makes a pretty big difference.
Yeah, and it's more realistic, too. It's a much more realistic story than the show version.
There's no mimes.
There's no mimes.
There's no mustache twirling villain.
The comic code back then would not allow mimes.
that was their line.
Baby theft,
It's kind of a true crimey type story. I mean, we're in shock suspense stories here instead of in Tales from the Crypt. So there's no blood, no gore. But yeah, it's a good comic. But they took that twist. I actually think while the show, you know, definitely made Danny a lot less sympathetic, having him be behind it feels more Tales from the Crypty than just a straight up story of a kidnapping.
That's true.
You know?
Well, because I was trying to figure out who is the kidnapper while I was watching it. Because I was like, is she going to turn out to be the kidnapper? Or like, was she going to have like a fake pregnancy and then kidnap a baby?
Sure.
Because I wasn't entirely sure where they were going with that. And again, that's the refreshing part that in this season, this late in the show, that I was able to like have an episode where I couldn't like suss out what was happening pretty quickly.
And the art cover they show on the episode really throws everything off because it shows her with like the crazy doll. And you're like, oh, this is about her going crazy. Honestly, she might as well not be in this. Like, it's really,
I know.
It's really a secondary kind of like, she's there for the baby to exist.
Yeah, this is a Steve Coogan show. Like, this is all about him. He's the main part of this.
But again, I would totally watch like another 10, 15 minutes to flesh out some of these characters. Oh, yeah. And that's a good thing. That's a good sign. Usually that means that you're doing right by the episode when you're wanting a little more character.
If they were to remake this show, I would like to see this one remade. I think a third time around to really like level it out, give us some time. You know, I would say this though, if they're going to remake this episode, don't hire a charming, handsome guy. I feel like sometimes they do that. They're like, oh, let's hire Chris Pratt for this movie where he's supposed to be a creep.
Right.
No, hire an actual guy that looks like, not to be mean to the guy who gets cast, but like, hire a guy that looks like a creep, but hire a guy that looks average that could like sell a baby, you know, like you believe he's going to sell a baby.
Oh, you know, Chris Pratt's stealing babies for a creep.
Ryan Reynolds. There you go, Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is a creepy guy who can't get a woman. Really?
Right.
Ryan Reynolds can't get a.
Yeah, no. This needs to be like a Joe Spinell, like the guy from Maniac or something like that. You know, somebody upsetting when you see
the guy who plays Rorschach and Freddy Krueger. The guy, Freddy Krueger. I forget who's that little guy that's like 5'2".
Jackie Early Haley.
Oh, was that his name?
I was gonna say Elijah Wood.
Honestly, though, yeah, I can see that. I mean, he's got those baby blues, but I still think he could do it. He did it in what was it, Maniac, and the one about his father. That one was
Come to Daddy,
He's great at weird horror movies. Honestly,
I just watched finished Yellow Jackets season 2, and he's phenomenal.
Yeah, if we get a Tales from the Crypt, I hope he's part of it because that guy is.
Oh god,
he's good at making weird horror, and that's exactly what Tales from the Crypt is. It's not like straight up horror; it's weird horror. You got to have weird, you know, weird kind of thing. And I think in his recent movies, he's doing great with that. So,
yeah,
shout out to that show.
All right, let's do episode rating. We do 0 to 5, 5 being the best, 0 being the worst. You can do half points. Matt, what do you give this episode?
I give it 3.47. No, I'm kidding. I give it a 3.5. It's once again, like I would have said 3 before we started talking, but you're really, the points you're making, like this is a Tales from the Crypt episode. This is an episode where things are weird, where he has to be behind this because that's the way the show goes, that everyone in this episode, everyone in the series is scummy. If they're a main character, 9 times out of 10, they're scummy. They have to be behind this. And yeah, the mimes being behind all of this is weird. And it reminds me of like Batman Returns. And it's like, I'm waiting for the penguin to jump out. And like, then they're just getting into domestic violence dispute, not even miming it. Like they didn't even bother miming. They're just like straight up. Yeah, there's weird stuff, yelling. But at the end of the day, it is a good story. It is a fun story. It's a story that like because I do like recaps for episodes and everything. Like, this story that I could recap in a minute and be like, this happened, and we'd be like, nice, you know? So to me, it's simple, it's straightforward, it's violence. I would give it a 3.5. To bump it up higher, I would say I need that violence, that extra violence at the end when he dies. Like, really give him, get it to him good. And yeah, that's really all I would have needed to get it like a 5, give it a 5. Make it me a little longer and give it a 5. Mm-hmm. That's how I would have done it.
All right, Jody.
Yeah, I'm right there with Matt. I feel like 3.5 is perfect for this one. It's better than average. You know, there are definitely much worse episodes than this one. And, you know, the performances are good. Story's good. The twists are good. Yeah, it was an enjoyable episode. I really liked it.
I'm going with a 4. This is the first one in a while that I wasn't just bored by.
A season 7-4.
I know. Who would have thought? But it just, I don't know if it hit me the right way or whatnot, but most of the ones this season I've been like on my phone for parts of or whatever, and I was in it the whole time, and that alone just bumps it for me. And again, yep. I think we haven't seen a good twist like this in a long time. I thought the acting was really good. It was really well directed all around. I thought it was a really good episode.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to kick it over to our Uncle Al Katz.
Hi, it's Alan. Kidnapper was not one of Scott Nimmerfroh's best scripts, and Scott wrote some of the very best episodes of Tales from the Crypt, period. But, as I've complained before, by season 7, we'd used all the best comics. Used all the pretty good comics, the pretty good, the kinda good, and the, well, I guess it'll do comics too. Our formula was used up, frankly. That's how I feel about it. In the absence of new EC comics to use as source material, which wasn't coming, of course, we were doomed to slowly limp off into the storytelling sunset. But on the bright side, being in England, we were casting actors we could only have dreamed of casting if we'd been doing the show back in LA. Prime example, Steve Coogan. At the time we cast Steve in Kidnapper, I think HBO's response was something like, who? No one in America knew who he was. We didn't care because we'd become huge fans. One of the perks of being a muckety-muck is you get to travel up front on the company's dime. Each of us had a certain number of back-and-forth trips, L.A. to London, as part of our deal. We became semi-regulars at Virgin Atlantic's first-class lounge at Heathrow Airport. That was a cool place back in the day, when such places were brand spanking new and guys like Richard Branson, Virgin's owner, were determined to outdo their competitors in lavishing their first-class passengers. As one of them, let me tell you, it was good to be lavished. Virgin's first-class lounge was filled with free food and drink, free massages, free everything. Well, the tickets cost a bomb, didn't they? But we weren't paying for them. Virgin Atlantic had really interesting video entertainment, too. There were some British comedies we knew, but also a few newer ones we didn't. One that we all fell in love with was Knowing Me, Knowing You with Alan Partridge, wherein Steve Coogan played the worst chat show host ever, Alan Partridge. I'll confess to having occasionally stolen a few lines from that show without getting caught, too. Until now, I guess. The moment Nimmerfroh suggested Steve for the kidnapper part, we said, do it! None of us even stopped to consider if it was good casting or not. We didn't care. We wanted to work with Steve Coogan, and this was how we were going to do it. It was cool working with Julia Sawala from Ab Fab, too. See you next time.
All right, and we're back. Mondo's not here for Song of the Day. I'm not going to go on any huge tangents, but we did forget to talk about the wraparound, which had the Crypt Keeper playing tennis, making tennis puns about Wimbledon. I forgot exactly what he said, but I'm not
made a lot of tennis puns. Really, yeah, a lot of like tennis focused puns. That I don't watch tennis. I was like, sure, you say so, man.
Yeah, okay. He was wearing a nice like tennis polo sweater kind of thing, and you know, he had a nice racket. You know, he was doing his thing. He was getting his exercise, so I was happy for him. So I googled songs about tennis just to see what came up. I didn't recognize any of them, but I did recognize one of the bands, a British band, not Led Zeppelin. So Mondo, you're safe there, is a song called Anyone for Tennis by Cream.
Okay.
Which is an Eric Clapton-headed band from 1968, I believe, from some soundtrack. I'm not even going to try to know much more about this, but Anyone for Tennis by Cream.
I just love Mondo's deep knowledge that he just comes off the top of his dome, but then anytime any of us fill in, we're like, this is a song about a thing that we saw in the episode.
I'm not gonna. I'm not even gonna bother trying because I can't do it. I can't do what Mondo does. Mondo, you win in that category. All right, Jody, give us some horror news.
All right, we got all kinds of things to talk about right now.
It's the season.
It is. I love spooky season, and it definitely has already kicked off. First, let's talk about some releases that have come out or are coming out very soon. The Nun 2 is in theaters right now, which I guess I'll see eventually. Yeah. I'm not gonna.
I've heard it's better than the first one. The first one was
the worst one of the entire Conjuring universe, in my opinion.
It absolutely is. It was one of those movies. Okay, so The Nun, when it was like being advertised before movies, because it for a while, like every horror movie I saw for a couple months had The Nun trailer. And they have the best jump scare in the entire movie in that trailer where she's walking along and she sees a nun in front of her. And then the evil nun comes out from the side. It's a great jump scare. Even though I knew it was coming, it kept getting me. So I was psyched for The Nun. It was bad. Like, I didn't enjoy it like very much at all. It just didn't live up to what I was hoping. So I will see The Nun 2 eventually, but I'm not in a hurry. But other things that have come out, there's a movie that I watched as part of Chattanooga Film Fest this year called Beaten to Death that just came out about a week or so ago in theaters. It is a brutal, brutal movie. If you want to talk about torture in a movie, there's a lot of torture in this movie, but I feel like it was really well done. Another one that we will talk about more on this show, Satanic Hispanics, comes out very soon in a couple days. So, definitely be on the lookout for that coming to theaters. Talk to Me has just come out on VOD. Did y'all catch that in theaters?
I haven't, and there's a very specific reason, because I heard a lot from a lot of people that the accents are really hard to parse out. So I wanted to watch it with subtitles. I've learned my hearing isn't as good as it used to be, and like especially for like Robert Eggers movies, those kind of movies.
Sure.
I'd rather watch it with the subtitles and get a fuller understanding, but it's definitely high on my watch list.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. I've heard a lot of good things about it. I mean, you know, you get mixed reviews from time to time, but I feel like overall the vibe has been positive on this one. So I want to check it out. And then one I want to mention just because Mondo has mentioned it to me as one that he thinks I would enjoy. There's a movie called Crabs that just came to Screambox about horseshoe crabs that kill a bunch of people. And it's apparently gory and silly, which, you know, gory and silly is kind of my thing. I enjoy that. All right. In addition
that's
to
horrifying.
Our releases,
Sorry.
We have a bunch of trailers.
I just looked it up. That's horrifying. Crabs. It's terrifying.
Yeah,
oh, my
right,
God.
Man.
At least it's not the other kind of crabs.
Don't give people ideas, Matt.
Somebody is writing that right now. Well, they're not, because unless if they're they're not. But they're
or it could be indie. It could be an indie film that they.
Right.
Yeah. Other things that have come out though, we got a trailer today for Mike Flanagan's The Fall of the House of Usher, and I, because it's Mike Flanagan, and it's another Netflix series, completely psyched for this. It looks great in this trailer. The description that they've got says in this wicked 8-episode limited series based on the works of Edgar Allan Poe, ruthless siblings Roderick and Madeline Usher have built Fortunato Pharmaceuticals into an empire of wealth, privilege, and power. But past secrets come to light when the heirs to the Usher dynasty start dying at the hands of a mysterious woman from their youth. Cast-wise, we've got a lot of Mike Flanagan regulars, Carla Gugino, Mary McDonald, who is the president in the new Battlestar Galactica series that came out a few years ago, Rahul Kohli, Michael Trucco, Kate Siegel, Zach Guilford, Henry Thomas, you know, all the Mike Flanagan people. And Mark Hamill is in this one. So, that's awesome. Very, very pumped for this. The Midnight Mass was my favorite thing I watched a couple years ago when it came out. So, you know, give me more Mike Flanagan doing this kind of thing. Another trailer we just recently got was for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
This is based on Eli Roth's fake trailer in the Grindhouse series. And I watched this whole trailer waiting for the trampoline scene, because I was like, if you don't put the trampoline scene in, like if that gets cut out because it's too raunchy, I'm out of this movie. But it's there, at least the hints of it are. That's one of those things in the Grindhouse trailer for this. She jumping on the trampoline, you know, she's taking off her shirt and her underwear and stuff like that, and she jumps down on the trampoline with a knife sticking up, and it makes me like squirm every time. So if they cut that out, I'd had no interest, but seeing that there is a trampoline,
how long did it take him to make this? Now that I'm thinking about, when was Grindhouse?
Oh, that was like 15 years ago,
2007.
That was a long time ago.
Wow, 2007.
Yeah, I'm really pumped for that. I love like holiday themed horror. I don't know why,
same. But I did always too.
Is fun. And if is it coming out Thanksgiving weekend?
November 17th. So a week before Thanksgiving.
Date, but I hope so.
Okay, I'm totally there for that, because that just sounds like the perfect time. I can't imagine anything better.
All right, I got another one for you. Another trailer. This is our latest public domain horror. Mary Had a Little Lamb is the name of this movie. We're just mining those deep cuts. This one is a radio host and her crew set out to discover the truth behind some disappearances for a true crime show. They will soon learn there's far more to discover when they meet Mary and her little lamb, which from the pictures is a big old dude in a lamb mask. It is a kind of cool lamb mask. These are stupid movies. I mean, we all know that, right? But this has the tagline, "Its fleece was red as blood." And ooh, that almost gets me excited.
Good.
I'm excited for the Grinch movie. I saw it last year. It was really good.
The mean one?
That's getting a real trailer. The mean one, yeah. And there was another one I saw a trailer for this week. It was it See No Evil?
Mm-hmm.
About three blind mice.
Yeah.
Can I just say, as someone who's read like literally thousands and thousands and thousands of on fairy tales, there's so many good fairy tales to do. They don't need to reach this hard for these ones. There's other ones out there that you can do that are amazing. Like, I why are they stretching these? There's so many scary original stories out there in folktales. A lot of really messed up folktales are out there across the world. You don't need to do a violent version of Mary Had a Little Lamb. Like,
it's all the name.
This one is literally the first line of a poem of a nursery rhyme. And they're just like, that's it. Done. Movie. I was going to save this for later, but I'll go ahead and mention it. We also have word about Winnie the Pooh Honey 2. Starring Tigger, because Tigger just became public domain. He wasn't in the first books. The quote from the producer... Tigger is incredibly violent. He loves to torture his victims before killing them.
Very original. And just as a side note to speaking of the folktale stuff, Satanic Hispanic is a horror anthology that uses Latin American folktales. You can do it. They're there and they're wonderful.
But I think the point is that these all have like buzzwords that people will
I called the Winnie the Pooh one. I literally was like, hey guys, it's January 1st and Winnie the Pooh is now public domain, so I guarantee you someone's making a horror movie of it. So that's what I was literally writing a book for it, and I was like, as I was writing, I was like, this is too dumb. I'm not gonna so I gave up on it. Someone's like, I made a movie, and I'm like, oh god. They made
so
money
hard.
In their defense.
Like, you don't have to write a story. Put a guy in a poo mask.
Are you going to mention Totally Killer? Have you heard this one yet?
No, I haven't heard of this one yet.
So this was like a surprise kind of thing. Like, I've never heard of this. It's basically Kierna Shipka from Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, and Mad Men. And it's kind of like Back to the Future, where somehow she time travels into the past and meets her mom on the night that all of her mom's friends got murdered.
Okay.
It's called Totally Killer, and it's kind of like an 80s comedy. It's a little bit of what's the other one? The Final Girls?
Sure, I love The Final Girls, one of my favorite movies.
And it's coming to Prime, so you know, it's one of those things like I don't know if I go to the theater for this, but on Prime, sure, I'd watch it.
Yeah, no, it sounds, I'm into it.
It's better than the other movies.
I love a good horror comedy. Yeah, exactly.
All right, I still have God. More. I told you.
Oh, wow.
Start of the year.
I thought you wrapped up.
London Bridges is the next one, I'm assuming.
A few upcoming things I just wanted to mention. Coming to Shudder September 15th is a movie called Elevator Game, based on a creepypasta urban legend, but it's directed by Rebecca McKendry, and so that automatically bumps it up for me. I'm excited to watch.
That's just a good...
Another one that has gotten some love on this show, The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster, comes to Shudder September 22nd. If you're a Shudder subscriber, it'll be available to you there very, very soon. Coming to Hulu that same day, September 22nd, is No One Will Save You. And it is from the writer-director Brian Duffield, who wrote and directed Spontaneous, one of my freaking favorite movies of all time, about aliens. So, yeah.
Do they explode?
I don't know. I mean, sure, why not? I'm just happy for more Brian Duffield stuff.
Just, all of his movies just have like randomly exploding characters. That just be his motif.
A couple more. The Elderly is a movie I saw at CFF this year. Pretty good. 3.5 stars from me out of 5. Coming to theaters on October 13th, Friday the 13th. I feel like that's going to be a big release day for a lot of horror. It's a cool movie. Old people. The elderly actors in this movie really go all out. Like they are brave and not shy at all. And it's a good movie.
Spain?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. Yeah.
Spanish movie. Spaniards make some wild, some weird stuff.
Definitely worth checking out. I enjoyed it. And then my last piece of news, coming to Disney Plus on that same day, October 13th, is a Goosebumps series, a limited series. I think 5 to 8 episodes. I don't remember. I forgot in my notes here. But it says the new television series draws on elements from 5 of the most popular middle grade books, including Say Ooh. Cheese and Die, which was my favorite as a kid, The Haunted Mask,
that was my favorite.
The Cuckoo Clock of Doom, Go Eat Worms, and Night of the Living Dummy. And the first episode is being directed by the same guy who directed the first Goosebumps movie, which I think, as far as a good movie to introduce your kids to spooky stuff, Goosebumps movie, top notch. I really enjoy that. Get a little Jack Black in there, get a lot of cool monsters. So I'm excited to watch this series.
Yeah, I'd watch that. I'll try to get my daughter to watch
also,
that with me.
Voyage of the Demeter is coming to streaming or coming to digital October 3rd, right? Is it
already out for
Voyage
digital.
Of the Demeter?
Voyage of the Demeter.
It is on VOD right now. I know it is still available.
Okay, and then it's is it coming? No, maybe there's a different movie. I thought.
And also, whatchamacallit? The latest Haunted House, Haunted Mansion is coming to Disney in October. So I'll watch that on Disney Plus with my kids.
We've got a Friday the 13th in October this year. I expect that to be a day of huge releases, just tons of stuff coming out.
Well, isn't that when the Taylor Swift thing is coming out?
Is it? That movie's already made like $100 million in pre-sales. Wild.
I know, that's crazy. But they did circumvent the studio, so good on them.
There you go.
All righty, let's go over to our Patreon question of the week. We did another Would You Rather. Let me just refresh it to see if anyone else responded.
Would you rather steal a baby? No.
I can't find anything relevant in this. I actually want to ask my patrons about because I'm taking their money. I don't want to know if they're
stealing babies.
Okay. Question is, would you rather be in a zombie apocalypse or a robot apocalypse? So while you're thinking about that, here's my thinking. So zombie apocalypse means you could be turned into a zombie, but you can't kill all zombies at once.
Sure.
But robot apocalypse means you'll just get straight up murdered. But I'm assuming, again, going by most sci-fi movie rules, if you kill destroy some central unit computer, then they'll all, crash.
Okay. So I'm definitely not going to be the guy who makes it to whatever central computer and like that turns it off. Like I'm gonna get killed in either of these situations. What's that?
Someone might. There's not gonna be you.
Somebody might, but it's not gonna be me. I know better. I'm gonna get killed at some point if somebody else intervenes. And being eaten by a zombie sounds awful. Like, you're getting ripped apart by not even like sharp teeth, like human teeth. So I'm going to go for robots. They're at least going to like laser my head off pretty
quick.
Or
zap you and
done, you know. I don't want to be around the zombies.
So I'm a huge Matrix fan. I've seen the Matrix and Animatrix and all the movies, and I've played the video. I'm like a huge diehard fan for it. So with that, if my mind goes to Robot Apocalypse, they don't even have a central computer when it comes to the Matrix. Like, they're just all autonomous units, and they'll just, and then they turn you into a brain thing. And so, like, that versus, like, worst case scenario, Dawn of the Dead remake by James Gunn and Zack Snyder, like, both horrifying, but I still feel like I could survive in the zombie apocalypse. I feel like I'm not making it through robots. I have no faith in myself to get it through, like, to not get caught by robots. I've seen too many sci-fi robot apocalypses to go like, nah, I can make it. Terminator, nah, I'm not making it through that. They're robots. What are you going to do to a robot? You can't fight a robot with a bat. You can fight a zombie with a bat, though.
See, I'm just fully on the idea that I'm not going to make it. I'm just trying to figure out which would kill me in the least terrible way. Although, if we're talking Matrix here, and they're going to use me as a battery and put me in the mid-90s, hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the
we can watch Tales of the Crypt.
No 2000s.
Yeah, and they honestly, they, I don't think according to the animation, I don't even think they killed many people in the war. They just they blew up everybody, but all the survivors, they just grabbed them and stuffed them in batteries. So,
but again, yeah, if it's the '90s. Tales of the Crypt is still on TV. You could go try to save. Yeah,
and remember, they do different eras too. They go through all of humanity, so it could be medieval times. It could be a little bit future from that. Sure. You know, you can have tons of fun in the robot apocalypse, but I feel like I would rather fight zombies. I feel like, you know, it's.
Yeah, you kind of got me. Okay, so our Patreons are split on this. It's pretty much 50-50. I feel like I could definitely survive the zombie apocalypse more and be easier to kill zombies, unless it's like the chopping mall situation. But that's probably not going to be as widespread. Then again, if it's a Matrix robot apocalypse, yeah, totally. Plug me in, man. We're probably... I watched that documentary about, you know, the possibilities of, what was it, simulated realities.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably are in a simulated reality right now as it is. So just plug me into another one. Level up.
Yeah, I mean, I have to have some sympathy. What was the dude's name? Joy Pants in the
Joe
Matrix.
Joe Pantoliano.
What his character name?
Cyrus.
Yeah, I mean, I at least have some sympathy for him because he's like living in this crappy future world where they're on a ship. He's like, I could go back and have steak and just like chill in the real world or the fake world. I mean, it's not that bad.
He just murders half his crew to do it. No big deal. Not even half. All yeah, in fact, I think he murders like 5 of the 8 of them. So.
Yeah, the murder part, that's, you know, that's a bad move. but going back, like, I at least.
But the thing is, he can't even do it. They say several times you can't actually go back into the Matrix. Your mind won't let you. You'll just have a breakdown because your mind's like, I know the truth.
Right. Which is worse, murdering your Matrix shipmates or stealing a baby using mimes?
Murdering, I would say murder is probably shipmates.
Yeah, I'd say murder is
mimes. I don't
murder
know.
Murder is probably worse than no. I mean, baby kidnapping or murder.
All right, moving on to our dad advice. So I didn't know this going in, but Matthew, you just had a newborn within the last 5 months.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yes.
So I thought we would ask you to, you can either ask us for any advice you have, or what advice would you like to give other new parents? This is your second kid, right?
So it's not.
Yeah, you've been on the go around.
I mean,
but
I would say this because this kind of relates to my firstborn. So especially for people that grew up with parents who weren't quite good, when your grandparents, your kids' grandparents, when your parents try to, they kind of relive everything with your grandkids. There's this weird feeling that you get because like my son and my father So me and my father was a weekend dad. So I saw him every other weekend for 2 days my whole life since I was three. So me and him never got close. And even when we did, we just didn't have the same interest. We just were never close. And but with my son, it's weird because my son, like, that's his like best friend. Other than me and his mom, like, he loves hanging out with my dad. And they don't even do anything. They just chill and stuff. And like, there's this really weird kind of feeling I see where it's like my dad tries so hard. He took my son to the beach. He's never taken me to the beach. Took my son to eat sushi. Never took me to eat sushi because he hates the smell of it. He's doing all these things that he would never do with me. But he's doing it for my son because my son really wants, like, he's, you know, and I get it. It's like, and he's told me this as much. He's like, if I had a father like you when I was growing up, I would have been a better father to you, you know, and that's a big, you know, for your father to say, I wish you were my, you know, I wish I'd follow you, you know, that they're really meant to melt to me. And there's also this nagging feeling of like, okay, but why didn't you, you know, like, why, you know, and I'm like a little bit jealous, just a tiny bit splash of jealous that like my son's getting the father that I should have had, you know, but it's a part of me is like, hey, at least he's doing something, you know, trying now. So to me, it's like, I know, cause I've talked to other people about this. I know some people got like really mad about it, that they like get mad at their parents for being like, where were you? Where was all this before? And I'm like, it wasn't there, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't there, but at least this is something that they can be doing, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people might not be capable at that time in their life to be that kind of parent. And
yeah. And that's the truth of it. So for me, it's like to parents and stuff that you see your kids' grandparents trying, like, give them a break. It's, you know, it's like, my mom will never admit it because my mom wasn't perfect either. You know, she's like, oh no, I was great. I'm like, I don't know about that. I know you're great. You know? So to me, seeing it, it's like, you really kind of, as a grandparent, they seeing them and everything, the kids kind of like doing their best for them, a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of, you know, but at the same time, I'm really happy for my father that he's able to do this, because in his shoes, if I was in his shoes, I can only imagine what it's like to like screw up the first time. And now you're like, aha, I got to set, you know, a second time without as much of the expectation and burden, you know? So my advice, yeah, is this for parents, or if you're a grandparent, I guess would be the bigger advice, is if you messed up the first time, if your kids let you into their life the second time, that's your opportunity. Because my wife's father is the same way, that he wasn't the best, but man, he tries with his grandkids. So it's like, if you know, you messed up, just try with the grandkids, you know, it's like, because they'll appreciate it. And most parents will be like, thank you. Thank you for trying with at least you tried with someone, you know?
Yeah, I have a good relationship with my parents, and I, you know, part of the reason I live where I do is because they're close by. And, you know, I love letting the kids do stuff with my grandparents and, or with my parents, and seeing them with them. And, you know, we even have kind of have an unspoken rule. There is somebody in our family that we're not personal big fans of, not for any like creepy reason or anything. We're just not. But they love one of my kids, and my kid loves them. And you know what? It's not, even if they bug me and drive me crazy, we just let that go. Let the kid enjoy being with them. Let them enjoy being with the kid. And it's good for them.
Be
it's
the
good,
parent that you want to be. Like, that's what I'm saying. I want my son to hang out with me when he's older. I want my son to talk about me, you know, to get, because to me, it's like, if I ever give a speech for an award, I'm probably not going to sing. I'm not going to mention my mom or dad once. Mention my wife up and down. I'll mention my kids. But, you know, it's to who got me where I am. It's more of, I did it in spite of you, not because of you, you know? And I don't want my kids to have that feelings. I don't want to have my kids to, you know, think. So for me, I'm like, whatever anyone that's in their lives that wants to be there, that is loving to them, that is trusting, that is uplifting them at any time, like, power to you, man. So that's my advice to parents. Right. It's just, if you can, if someone is there, like stuff. You said, like, if someone's there that maybe you're like, you know, now you're like, oh, I don't leave my kids around. He's just like, oh, I don't like that person, you know? But like, it's, to me, it's like, that's my in-laws. I don't, I'm like, I'm not the biggest fan. I don't really get invited there. So, but my son loves them. My son spends time with them. They respect my son, you know? So it's like, love it, you know? And time away. You can always enjoy time away from your kids. Always enjoy time away from your kids. Love them. Because if you spend every waking hour with your kids, you will never have the opportunity to miss them. And that's when you love them even more. And honestly, that's the truth of it. You know, when you're with your kids every single day, constantly, like, I've been a stay-at-home dad, you know, several times. Me and my wife usually switch off between going to work. And it's like, you got to miss your kids. You got to miss your kids because then you're like, oh, okay, we get it. You're showing me a video for, you're showing me your Minecraft video 100th times a day, and I've seen it every, you know, when you're away from them, when you work, and you, you know, send them away, you get back and you can kind of like reset yourself and really give, give your all to really trying harder with your kids, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Good stuff. All right. Well, that wraps up another episode. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us. Please tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, so I'm the Storytime Guy, one word, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I do some stuff, but mostly it's Instagram and TikTok. If you have any questions about any of these stuff, folk tales, mythology, Aztec mythology, representation, anything like that, feel free to message me on Instagram. I reply to every single message. Yes, every single one. Whew, but I do it. And if you have any inquiries for anything, if you want me to help you, if you're working on something, email me. I love helping people. I get emails all the time every week of someone going, hey, I'm doing this and there's a Latino character and I don't want to be offensive. Can I show you this? And can you be honest with me? You know, I've had producers, I've had tons of people reach out to me and be like, hey, what'd you think of this? And so, yeah, so that's what I'm here for. I love it. Hispanic Heritage Month, Latin Heritage Month is starting. So always encourage everyone to uplift, to reach out to these communities. It really helps everyone out. And yeah, I'm the Storytime Guy.
That's awesome. And if you enjoyed Matt this week, he's actually coming back next week because we'll be covering Satanic Hispanics, new horror anthology. Very excited for that.
Very, very excited.
All right. Well, we appreciate everyone for listening. We would really appreciate if you would give us a rating or review on iTunes, a rating on Spotify, and check out our YouTube for videos of these podcasts. And with that, we thank you for listening to Dads from the Crypt.
Follow Dads from the Crypt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Or I will follow you to the grave. No, seriously, you really should watch. But be careful what you ask for. You may get it.
And stopped.